This was the first year I started to get a sense that maybe Steve's the one who takes over for Bill. Bill gets a little slice of equity and is like the VP of football operations for another team. I could see him wanting to hire Steve.
Dale Arnold.
You know, that's the decision the organization made. It just didn't happen, fellas. It just didn't happen.
Rich Key.
I think New England is going to stockpile picks and throw 10 at somebody to get Lawrence or Justin Fields.
Even Edelman, it seems like he might be heading to Detroit.
Yeah. Dale and Keith. Middays.
Hello. This is Bill Belichick. I encourage everyone to shelter in place for as long as necessary as we fight this virus.
You know, Marshall's done a good job.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Fun to talk to Kevin Falk last hour. I screwed up in one respect. I always like to bring up his cousin because Marshall Falk to this day says the Patriots screwed them.
Yeah, he is not a pro-Patriot guy. He is not on that so all-time Patriot hater list, I would
say. We mentioned that there was a very lengthy piece that ran in USA Today a couple of days ago now. Henry McKenna wrote it. And interestingly enough, it's about Steve Belichick. Now, first of all, if you're an assistant coach for the Patriots, you know, they talk only when the NFL requires them to talk. You can't see them or talk to them on a regular basis. The league mandates that there's a certain amount that has to be done, but for the most part,
right,
they are...
there's like certain conference calls here or there.
Yeah.
But what will be interesting is last year they had no defensive coordinator by title. And so if he becomes the defensive coordinator, I feel like the coordinators then end up speaking at least a little bit more than the position coaches do. So it might be harder to kind of hide them once you're officially a coordinator.
So it's an interesting piece, and it's about Steve Belichick. Now let's start with this. I think the tendency for most, I can't speak for everybody, but for us, the tendency is to say, well, first of all, the only reason he's on the staff is because, you know, Bill's his dad and is the head coach. A lot of people tend to, let's be honest, kind of mock the skills and abilities of Steve Belichick. It probably less since he got rid of the long haircut that made him look a little bit silly, but you know he looks a little more normal now. But most people tend to think that the only reason he's got the job he does is because of who his dad is.
Which is probably true, but it doesn't mean he's bad at it, right? Like nepotism's a real thing. Like, it happens all the time. And some of these guys get into the league early because of who their dad is. And the NFL's not alone, right? I'm sure a lot of people probably either have their jobs or had a better opportunity to get their jobs because either somebody in their family or somebody that they know, right? I mean, that's just how it is. So would Steve Belichick be an assistant coach on the Patriots years ago if his dad wasn't the coach? Probably not.
But interestingly enough, while his last name certainly opens doors for him, and that's kind of the focus of this piece, whether it was Rutgers lacrosse or he was a long snapper on the Rutgers football team for a year or the Patriots, his last name absolutely opens the doors.
Yeah.
Many people say he's incredibly well prepared once the doors are open. Let me just give you a quote in the piece. Joe Judge, who obviously was the special teams coordinator for the Patriots, but now he's the Giants head coach. So you would think that he's probably a little freer to say what he really thinks, you know, be a little more open with his thoughts. Here's a quote in the piece from Joe Judge about Steve Belichick. He said, quote, maybe you'll be watching tape or doing something in a staff meeting, and he'll just lean over and whisper something to you. And it's so insightful, you kind of have to think, man, how come I didn't see that earlier? He doesn't want any credit. Steve's one of the best guys personnel-wise in understanding how to use guys' strengths. He'll stick his head in your office. Maybe he'll notice what a certain guy is doing and say, have you thought about using so-and-so on kickoff? And he'll cite that player's skill set on defense and show how it might work on special teams, unquote. Now, this is a guy who, let's be honest, has probably had football ingrained into his brain since the time he could think. And you'd think that he probably did learn a lot at the foot of his father. But according to people like Joe Judge, he really knows his stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a football lifer, sort of like Bill was before him. And I think Bill is the perfect example, too, of you don't have to be a former NFL player. You don't have to be a former D1 player, you know. And I know, you know, Belichick was, he did like special teams or whatever at Rutgers. But you, the point is, when everyone's like, well, you got to have played the game. It's like, well, Bill's a pretty great example of no, you don't have to have played the game. And so, yeah, it's always been a part of it. He's always been thinking it. And again, there's one thing about, oh, your dad has the job, so you get the job. Like, think of owners in the NFL, right? Across the board, so many of them, their dad owned the team, now they own the team.
Right.
Did they put in all the years of hard work? Not necessarily. Whereas at least this, it's not like Steve Belichick showed up and was the defensive coordinator. Steve Belichick has been an assistant, a position, like a super low level
assistant.
He was
a grunt to start.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's also
which his
how,
brother has kind of followed the same path
yeah,
now.
Right.
Started as a grunt, you know, basically making copies and getting coffee and that sort of thing.
And that's how, you know, Josh McDaniels, that's how Matt Patricia, that's how those guys began. So if you're willing to go through all those years of, you know, crazy hours cutting down film and, you know, probably getting paid next to nothing, if you're willing to do that and put in the work, then people shouldn't really look at it as just your name. Now, again, he probably wasn't the only one going for that job initially, and he's going to have the leg up because of who his dad is. But if he's putting in the work, if he's been on the staff now for years and years and years, and he's not necessarily leapfrogging over anybody when he doesn't deserve it, right? He's sort of, think about how many coaches that have left. And so now you're looking at, besides Bill, who are the longest tenured coaches on the staff? And now all of a sudden his son is one of them.
Here's another quote from Joe Judge last week talking to USA Today. Quote, I think it's tougher for Steve in a lot of ways because he's always got to prove that he's earned it. Over time, if you can't demonstrate that you belong in that building, you're the sore thumb sticking out. And he showed time and time again that he's prepared. He's very good with the players. He's got the great global view of the game. He does a good job schematically. You have to demonstrate value in front of everyone all the time. That's the thing about that building and our profession in general. There's no hiding, unquote.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, again, there are examples of father-son coaches. And I think, again, with Belichick being the greatest coach in my mind, even more pressure when you see that last name. And, you know, there are certain players that do the same thing, right? When a guy's son is following them, like, I can only imagine what LeBron James' son, who's a high school player now, like, trying to live up to that. Like, that's got to be so difficult. Like, you could have done anything, but you want to do the same thing your dad does, and he's one of the greats at it. So, you know, good luck.
I once talked to Bobby Orr about, you know, what it would have been like if his son had wanted to be a hockey player.
Yeah, good luck.
How do you follow that?
Yeah, really, for the most part, you don't. And every once in a while, there's the times where, you know, Ken Griffey Sr. was a very good player. Then Ken Griffey Jr. was even a much, much better player. So there is that. But I'm just thinking of some of the coaches. You know, like Kyle Shanahan,
the
for
Shanahans
example.
Are the best example.
That's
right?
That probably is the best because, like, Mike was a great coach and Kyle seems like he's a great coach. And so maybe Kyle got his first job because of, you know, somebody that Mike knew or whatever, but he put in the work and he's actually really, really good at it. You know, another couple of examples would be like Don Shula and then Dave and Mike Shula, his sons. Like, how good were those guys? Or I guess you could probably argue both sides of it, but Buddy Ryan, Rex Ryan, Rob Ryan. You know, Rex had success, though, so it wasn't like he was, you know, an out-and-out bust. But, you know, does Rob Ryan get the same opportunities if it wasn't for Buddy Ryan and, you know, all those kind of things? But it's interesting. And, again, I just think as long as those guys put in the work, I don't think anybody should freak out about over his last name. I just think for him, that's a hell of a choice. You know, you could do a lot of different things in this life, and you say, well, my dad's the best football coach ever. I'm also going to do that. It's like, good luck.
Interestingly enough, Bill actually responded to USA Today. Now, he responded by email.
cease and desist.
Yeah, no, he didn't do that. You know, and the whole thing had to do with how hard it must be for Steve Belichick working for the Patriots with his dad as the head coach, where everybody's going to say he got the job because he's Bill's son. Bill told McKenna, quote, there are many father-son coaching combinations in the NFL, and any challenges are far outweighed by the rewards of working together on a daily basis, unquote. Now, that's as much as he was going to give, more than I expected him to give, to be honest with you. You know, and we've talked about this on the few occasions when you've heard from Steve Belichick, and it doesn't happen very much, the first thing we said was, oh, my God, he sounds exactly like his father.
Yeah,
he sounds identical.
He does. It so does Caserio, actually. Like, you know, their cadence and sort of what they say is all pretty similar. And yeah, you definitely get that with Steve for sure, who I would imagine we're probably just going to be hearing from more. And like you said, it's not that it's every single day. You know, it's not like it's as much as Bill, but the longer he's here and the more he gets elevated, the more we're going to get a chance to see him and hear him.
You think about how Bill Belichick kind of got his start in the coaching world. And that was, you know, helping his dad, Stephen Belichick, who spent 34 years as an assistant at the Naval Academy, wrote a book on scouting, by the way. You know, he was breaking down film with his dad when he was a kid.
Right.
My guess is Steve Belichick had a similar career path.
Yeah, and obviously must have loved it if you, you know, you're going to dedicate this much time to it and try to follow in your father's footsteps. Because, and, you know, I also think when we've tried to determine how long Bill's going to coach, I forget who brought this up, but a couple of years ago, and that was a great point, especially when his younger son also joined the staff. And you're saying, because Bill made those comments about he's not going to be Marv Levy, but that has certainly changed. And, oh, by the way, when you're going to work and you're spending all these hours and your two sons are there as well, like, doesn't that make it a little bit easier? It's like you're not, all of your time at the office is not completely devoid of family. And I know it's not like you get to sit there and like hang out and like, you know, you're you know, having lunch every day with these guys. Like, you are at work, but you're working with your son. So I can only imagine that would kind of like give him a little bit of a jolt and make him look forward to it even more than he already does.
And the pressure that a guy like Steve Belichick must feel, and Brian too, you know, it's like you can't screw up.
Right.
I mean, everybody's talked about how Bill Belichick in a team meeting, you know, would rip Tom Brady as much as he'd rip, you know, the 53rd guy on the roster. If you're in a coach's meeting and you're Steve Belichick and you say something really stupid,
right,
my guess is your father's going to light you up.
Yep. Do you think Steve Belichick will be the next head coach of the Patriots?
I didn't used to, but I'm beginning to.
Because there was that line.
I always thought it was going to be Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, it seemed like it, especially when they talked him out of the Colts. But McDaniels is also taken interviews, and he wanted interviews this year, and it didn't happen. He wanted the Packers job 2 years ago. This year, he might have left for the Giants. So I think McDaniels kind of either sees that Bill's going to be here a while, or maybe he's not going to get the job. So that, even though he left the Colts job, I think he's looking for another one as soon as even this year. So I never thought it was realistic either. But you remember that line in the Wickersham article where he's like, Belichick also wants to set up like a dynastic succession plan?
Yep.
And I was like, what the hell? Like, I thought, because I actually was one of the few people that believed most of the Wickersham stuff in there. But when I saw that line, I'm like, so now you're telling me Bill wants to hand the thing off to Steve as the head coach of the Patriots? But.
And we all sort of.
Maybe we all sort of mocked it
based on the last name, right?
Yeah, and I was just like, come on, that just seems like a bit much. And that's just so much pressure on him. And obviously Brady's gone. We know that for a fact now. So when Steve takes over, or if he takes over, and let's say they're still kind of looking for a quarterback, and he goes 3-13 one year, how is that going to go? Like, how is that going to be treated?
I mean, as the piece points out, when Josh McDaniels was named offensive coordinator for the Patriots, he was 30. Joe Judge was 34 when he was named the Patriots special teams coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Steve will be 33 when this season begins. And we know the way it works here is you do the job before you get the title, and then ultimately you get the title. It was the same with Matt Patricia and others. My guess is he'll be named the defensive coordinator for the Patriots this year. When preseason was going on last year, we weren't sure if it was Steve, was it Gerard Mayo, you know, who's calling
Bill?
The plays.
I thought it was mainly Bill, right? And
yeah.
And those other two guys. But as the year went on, it definitely seemed like it was more Steven in charge of the defense.
Sure did.
So, you know, he's been on the staff since 2012. So again, it's not like, so that would be what, year 8 or year 9 would be,
yep,
when he becomes a coordinator. So that's not crazy. I mean, think about, you know, Sean McVay is a head coach at 31 or whatever the hell it was when he got hired. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, like, the teams are willing to take head coaches at such a young age. So coordinators, it wouldn't be anything, you know, out of the ordinary.
It's a fascinating piece, and I'll ask John or Scheim if we can tweet this out on the Dale and Keefe Twitter feed.
They already did. It's
okay,
out there.
Good. Yep. Henry McKenna wrote it. It actually came out a couple of days ago, and we've been busy with other things and haven't gotten to it. The point is, if he does succeed as father, as head coach of the Patriots, it will be a natural instinct for all of us to say, oh, yeah, well, we know why that is. Look at his last name. It may be that he probably is the right guy.
He could be. Yeah, no, he definitely could be. And I think anybody that says, oh, he's only getting it because of his son, you would just look to, it didn't work out this way, but if Mike Shanahan handed things off to Kyle Shanahan,
right,
you'd say, oh, you know what? Both pretty good. Like, I feel good about both. Now, there are examples of the other way, and that's obviously going to happen, but I think it's not as crazy as it used to sound that it might be him, especially when every year, like Brian Flores and Joe Judge and Matt Patricia and all these guys that were here are gone. Like Belichick is outlasting them, you know, much like Tom Brady outlasted all the guys that were supposed to be his backups until Stidham. Bill has outlasted all of these other coordinators that have taken jobs all around the league, going back to Bill O'Brien and Mangini and everybody. He's outlasted all of them. But, you know, I guess the other question would be, like, would Steve possibly take a job somewhere else, or would he just rather coach with Bill the whole time?
In the McKenna piece, he says the only coach he'll ever want to work for is his dad.
Yeah.
And you could see where, and we kind of half joked about this, when Joe Judge took the job in New York.
Oh, I'm sure he reached out.
and we thought, you know, what if Steve goes with Joe Judge to the Giants? And, you know, if you read the Joe Judge quotes in the McKenna piece, it's obvious the admiration Joe Judge has for Steve Belichick's abilities.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously thinks this guy is a rising star. But in the exact same piece, Steve had said the only coach he'll ever work for is his father.
Which also makes you feel like, again, you can probably read it a few different ways, but is Bill ripping the Band-Aid off of Brady because he wants to find the next quarterback sooner in order to leave Steve in a better position? Because he obviously is going to want to leave Steve in a position to succeed. Whereas if you're a coach and you know you're going out, is the next year really all that important? Like, let's be honest. If you know that this is your last year, wouldn't you kind of go all in? Like, wouldn't that just be your natural instinct? Maybe trade your first round pick. Maybe sign, you know, maybe go up right up against the cap because you're going all in and you're done. And yeah, you like the franchise, but is it really that important to you to leave them in a great spot? It wouldn't be unless your son's taking over. And so now I wonder if this factors into, you know, the Brady plans and you know, whether it's Stidham or a first round pick quarterback or all this,
right,
and get the thing pointed in the right direction for a couple of years. I'm not suggesting Bill's leaving anytime soon, but you get it going in the right direction. And now let's say it's your new starting quarterback. It's year three for him. So he's kind of got the offense running, and you say, you know what, now it's time to walk away and let Steve take over.
And if you think about it, you know, we half joked about, you know, the absolute worst position of all. Well, the first one is to be the quarterback who follows Tom Brady. The other is to be the coach who follows Bill Belichick. It may be that only Steven Belichick is capable of handling the extra pressure that comes with that position.
Oh, my God. But I feel like there's even more pressure on him.
It might be.
You know, like I never thought of that as a possibility. Like the guy who replaces Bill, you're like, oh, yeah, McDaniels seemed to make sense. Maybe they go with like a young college coach and bring him in or something like that, sort of like when the Celtics brought in Brad Stevens. But giving it over to the son just seems like there's so much pressure. Now, again, if he goes out there, gets into the playoffs year one, a lot of people will shut up and just say, all right, this is the coach, and let's go, let's move on. You know, that's the next era of Patriots football. Maybe Jonathan Kraft is owning the team, and maybe Steven Belichick is the coach.
Although you just know what the reaction's going to be.
Well, if the team struggles, yeah, it'll be almost like even worse.
No, I mean when they announce it. If they announced it. You know, Bill's retiring and the new head coach of the New England Patriots is Steve Belichick, it's going to be condemnation.
But if he is, let's say he's the defensive coordinator for the next 3 years.
Right.
And the defense is good.
Which I think he probably will be. I mean,
right.
I don't know about the defense
good. But yeah, right. The defense may or may not be. But I'm saying if the defense is good and McDaniels is taking another job, it almost makes, like, who else would you go to? Like, it's a guy that's been in the organization for a long time. And if he had a different name, like if it was Flores or if it was Judge and he'd been here this long and had success, it kind of seems like the natural guy to give the job to It's just, you're right, when the last name, people might be kind of thrown off, like, really? Like, is he really the best option? But in 3 years, he definitely could be.
He might be. Arthur's in New Hampshire. Hey, Arthur, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Keith, I'm not understanding what you mean by when you say Bills outlasted, you know, Joe Judge or Flores, or because their career just started, you know. Isn't the verdict still out?
Oh, I meant in New England. I meant in New England. Like, if you are kind of grooming these guys and they're your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator, they're all getting head coaching jobs, but none of them are taking over this job because he's still the guy. He's still the guy that's in place. And so, like, even sure, McDaniels left once, came back, and Bill was still the coach. And we had the idea, like, is he the coach in waiting? And I just feel like those guys are going to wait for a very long time, so they have to go somewhere else.
Well, one more here, bold prediction. I don't know how bold it is, honestly, but I do think that we'll see Belichick as the GM of the Giants in a year or two, especially probably in a year when Gettleman shows what an idiot he still is and is out of there. And I think Joe Judge is probably his favorite of all those guys and would love to hook back up with him in New York. Just a hot take.
All right, that is a hot take. Thanks, Arthur. I mean, there was something fishy about the Joe Judge into the Giants, no Josh McDaniels, and the no interview and everything going on there. But I don't know.
It did seem weird, didn't it?
Really weird. And if I was McDaniels, I'd be pissed, especially if I really wanted the job, I'd be pissed. But everybody always tries to shoehorn Bill back to the Giants. I'm like, I feel like he's been with the Patriots now for 21 years.
Yeah, it's been
like
a while.
This is his spot, isn't it?
By the way, the Howard Stern show put out a tweet today. And the tweet is, Tom Brady and Howard Stern, their first interview together. Tune in Wednesday, April 8th on Howard 100. And they've got a picture of Tom and all of that. Tom linked to the tweet, and he tweeted out half an hour ago, quote, warm weather Tom, let's loose. Let's do this at Howard Stern.
Cry face emoji, cry face emoji.
Is he going to let loose?
No.
No. I mean, I kind of wish he would.
In fact, he's warning us that he might even be more dull than normal. I think he's going to be really reserved. Although, like we said yesterday, if anybody can get something out of him, it's Howard Stern. And maybe something that he didn't plan on saying. And I'm not saying that Brady hasn't made news in his interviews, because he has. And a lot of times we have to kind of read between the lines and all that other stuff. But just, I'm sure there are things that he doesn't want to talk about that maybe Howard could get out of him. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to that. Again, it could be just more of the same, a lot of cliches and, you know, promoting healthy living and healthy eating and healthy attitudes. Or maybe he gives a little bit of dirt.
Maybe. Coming up next Wednesday, trust me, we'll be playing the sound from that. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got our Awaken 180 take that needs a 180. It's coming up in just a couple of minutes. We get back to your calls as well. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
We're definitely still worried about it, but it's not something that we're, like, letting consume our spring break, I guess.
And we have really strong immune systems.
We're not real worried about it because we're on the sand, and it's an open area. There's not a lot of doorknobs and not a lot of things you can touch.
Like, it's really messing up with my spring break.
Trying to get drunk before everything closes.
I feel like we shouldn't, like, change, like, our lifestyles.
If I get corona, I get corona.
Oh, I love the spring breakers. Time now for this week's Take That Needs a 180. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Become your vision of you with the solution for weight loss. Six locations are online with Awaken 180's virtual worldwide program. I'll share this, okay? Just because, you know, we talk real here. I've been texting back and forth with Paige at Awaken 180. I had kind of reinvigorated myself with the Awaken 180 program before all of this crap hit the fan. And when I first went into Awaken 180 a few years ago, I had lost 45 pounds. I'm now down 50 from then.
All right.
Because I have lost more weight thanks to Awaken 180. And it can happen, despite the fact that it's harder to work out. It's harder, you know, to be active like you might like to be. Awaken 180 can help you out with this stuff, and it's helped with me as well.
Absolutely. And it's a tough time right now, but I'll tell you, if you get some help with what to eat, that's probably a good time, because I think people are kind of going nuts. They're not sure what they should be doing. And so if they have sort of a plan, it could help a lot.
That's where Paige has helped me the most. All right, so you heard the Spring Breakers, okay? And you heard them saying, oh, I don't know. I want to do my spring break thing. So the House Speaker for the state of Texas wanted to talk to these young people.
Quit being an ass. That's my message, candidly. Get over yourselves. Whether you think this is an issue or not, it is. Whether you think it could affect you or not, it does. The reality of it is, if I'm a college kid who's going to spring break in Mexico, you're affecting a lot of people. Grow up.
So just to tell you why he said that.
Yeah.
70 students from the University of Texas at Austin, all in their 20s, chartered a plane to Cabo in late March. Now, there was public health advice even then to avoid crowding as well as non-essential air travel. Tuesday, public health officials in the city of Austin announced that 28 of them, more than a third of the young people who took the trip, had returned and tested positive for the coronavirus.
Of course.
Yeah. Many of the remaining students outside the 28 are under public health monitoring, according to officials. Can you all just stop being stupid?
Although I don't know if that message is going to be taken very well. I don't know. I could be wrong. If you tell a bunch of high school kids to shut up and just listen to me, might go the other way.
So we've sort of, you know, given the spring breakers and the college kids, you know, their own grief here. And they deserve it. Okay, mm-hmm. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Can I also say that there are some elected officials out there who are particularly stupid about this content? And I might start with the governor of the great state of Georgia.
This was something.
The governor of the state of Georgia, who announced yesterday that they were going to be very strict here about gatherings and what they were going to do because he's found out something new.
You know, I think it's the reason I'm taking this action. Just like I've continued to tell people, I'm following the data. I'm following the advice of Dr. Toomey. Her and I both mentioned in our remarks, you know, finding out that this virus is now transmitting before people see signs. So what we've been telling people from directives from the CDC for weeks now, that if you start feeling bad, stay home. Those individuals could have been infecting people before they ever felt bad. Well, we didn't know that until the last 24 hours. And as Dr. Toomey told me, she goes, this is a game changer for us.
Excuse me?
He found out.
What?
Now, this was yesterday. He said
what?
This. That was Wednesday.
Yeah.
He found out Tuesday.
Right. Just found that out. That is.
Do they not have the internets in Alabama?
Georgia.
Or Georgia, I mean. Do they not have?
They may not. Now, I wonder, did he have any questions as to why the Atlanta Hawks weren't playing games anymore? Like, even if it was just that. Let's say he's not a big news guy, right? Let's say he's not dipping into the news as much as maybe he should be at a time like this. Do you think he... Yeah, we used to have a basketball team. They stopped.
I sure miss watching them play.
What happened to them? They don't play anymore. That's weird. We had a baseball team that was probably supposed to have their opening day already.
I missed that too.
I didn't do that.
In fact, they asked me to throw out the first pitch in the first game, and I don't know why I didn't get to do that.
This, folks, is a game changer. What you have here is information that's been out for 3 weeks.
Maybe even for some of us, a couple of months.
Good point. A couple of months. I think it was probably the beginning of March where it was like more and more clear. I mean, what weird planet was this guy on?
How would you like to be one of the folks in the great state of Georgia who elected this Nimrod as their governor? And now you're going, wait a minute, you didn't know until yesterday?
Dale, do you know where the CDC is located?
I believe it's in Atlanta, Georgia.
Georgia. Yeah.
I mean, he could have walked down the street.
Was he holding the press conference in front of it, for God's sakes? Like, he might have been. I feel like he would also, maybe somebody could have tipped him off. Just, you know, they're in Atlanta. Like, oh, by the way.
Maybe he saw it blow up in The Walking Dead and he thinks it's actually gone.
They did. They tried to go to the CDC in season one of The Walking Dead. They went there.
They got there.
They got there. Not a ton of help. It was like that one guy in there and he didn't want to be around. He was like, I'm checking out. He said, I can't deal with this, these zombies.
I'm done with this.
My God.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter, and I'm like, you find out about
a friend who lives in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he was tweeting out, you know, how are you the only person who didn't know this?
Well, we didn't know that
no
until the last 24 hours. And as Dr. Toomey told me, she goes, this is a game changer.
So two things. This video came out last night, and so you're thinking maybe it was April Fool's. It wasn't. And you're thinking maybe this was a video from like a month ago. It wasn't. Yikes. And then you get the people standing behind him. To be fair, the people standing behind him, unlike when the president does his press conferences.
Oh, yeah, they were 6 feet apart.
They were apart from each other. You notice the president doesn't do that? They're all like, excuse me, bumping into each other. I'm like,
elbow to elbow.
Like, aren't you telling us to be far apart? And you got Pence and Trump and Fauci all like bumping into each other.
Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth.
Perfect.
So it's easy to make fun of the spring breakers because they're dumb and they're college kids and they don't know what they don't know. But the governor of Georgia apparently found out 48 hours ago.
Yeah.
This was serious.
We got some new
information. You could spread this stuff around.
Yeah, you guys better be careful now. They might not even be super sick, but they might have it. Yeah, it's like, what do you think the rest of the world is doing right now? Why do you think the world is shut down? What do you think it is? Like, that's the whole point, is that, like, healthy people or, quote, healthy people might have it or they can transmit it. And this guy's just like, we got a real game changer. Lock your doors.
Those individuals could have been infecting people before they ever felt bad.
Right. Yeah. Donovan Mitchell. Was never sick. Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz, which was like, that was spread across every news
outlet.
Marcus
Smart said he felt fine.
Felt fine the whole time.
Now, there are people who are sick who have it.
Of course.
Chris Cuomo from CNN has said that he's been quite sick during the course of having this. Now, he's a little older than some of these younger athletes. But one of the stories of this all along is that they're, especially among the younger population, they are, here's the term, Governor, asymptomatic.
Right. Yeah, you don't know.
They have it.
You just don't know.
They don't know it.
Finding out that this virus is now transmitting before people see signs.
He does absolutely no favors for the Southern accent, which some people, not myself.
I kind of like it, though.
No, but my point is, some people, and this is wrong, but they associate that with a lack of intelligence. And that's not fair.
Well, he doesn't help that, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But then you hear that, and you're like, oh, God.
This is a game changer.
All right, thanks, Joe Exotic.
I have more bad news for you.
More?
Yeah, it's related to the coronavirus.
Okay.
So Top Gun Maverick was supposed to hit theaters June 24th, 2020. Not going to happen.
I know.
The new release date is December 23rd, 2020.
Okay, Christmas. See you around Christmas. Yeah, A Quiet Place 2 got moved to September 4th, I believe.
Yeah.
Basically, every movie that was supposed to come out in March, April, May, June has all been bumped.
Now,
I think most of the big July ones are all been bumped.
And quite honestly, the question that we all need to have answered more than anything else is, what effect does this have on the Dork podcast?
You know what? It does have an effect because we were going to do most of these movies. However, some of the stuff, like we just did a Tiger King episode because everybody's watching Tiger King. We're going to do an Ozark episode because everybody's at home. So like some of the streaming stuff we'll do. So we can always come up with some sort of Dork topic. We'll be fine.
You'll be okay.
Hey, don't worry about us.
Well, I do worry about
it. I know.
I mean, the Dork podcast, more than anything else, is us, isn't it?
It is. That's right.
That and Davey Eyeballs playing the Red Sox season out for us.
That's what it's come to. We got a nice win today.
A huge come-from-behind win today.
We could always just break down those games on the Dork podcast, too, if it worse comes to worse.
Don't worry. It might be happening on this show sometime soon as well. Right. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, what else you got? OMF at the top of the hour. Can't wait for their Brady Week content today. They will talk with the guy who preceded Tom Brady as the quarterback for the Patriots. Drew Bledsoe will join them here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Time to get to a couple of things that we didn't get to earlier in the program.
What else you got?
By the way, Rich, that plane, Aircraft One, that the Patriots sent to China to pick up N95 masks for healthcare workers back here in the States is scheduled to land this afternoon at Logan Airport.
Good.
And we mentioned this earlier on in the program. Good on the Patriots. Good on Robert Kraft. In an offseason that's been bereft of positive public relations news, this was a good one.
Absolutely.
All right, Rich.
All right. So earlier today we had Kevin Falk on the show, and the guy who has been playing Kevin Falk's role in the Patriots offense the last several years is James White. And today, James did one of those conference calls via Zoom, and he was talking about sort of what he's been doing to, you know, kill some of the time recently.
It's been interesting. My wife and I are trying to watch new TV shows, whatever it is, pass the time by. Like I said, watching old sports games. It's just doing whatever you can to kind of make the time flow by a little bit. We started watching Ozark, so it's been pretty good so far.
James and his wife are watching Ozark.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a video conference call.
So what happened there was, if you're in the Zoom chat rooms, I'm sure most people have been.
I got to see Giardi with a hat on to cover the hat head and stuff.
But what you're supposed to do is mute your mic unless you are, of course, the person like James White or the person asking the question. So somebody was like, oh, hey, honey, James White, he's watching Ozark. He's just like us. Like, hey, your mic's on. Shut your mic off. Somebody had a good tweet the other day. I don't know who it was, but they tweeted out, not muting your mic is the new reply all. Because people always get burned with that. You're supposed to be writing back to one person. Like, everybody sees your stupid email.
Which, right when I connected, I did not mute my mic.
So everybody heard John's nonsense.
It was you!
Yep. John, everybody heard.
That was right at the beginning. I got a text from Ryan Hannibal, though, saying that he could hear everything I was saying. I needed to shut up, so.
So
Ryan Hannaby or whatever.
Hannibal. Yep, Hannibal.
I never had Zoom as an app until this all happened.
Oh, you gotta use it now.
Well, then I started reading about Zoom getting hacked and stuff so that... my trainer has been doing training sessions with Zoom, and a whole bunch of us get together. She's now switched over to some other thing because she doesn't
want compromised.
She doesn't want people to see me doing push-ups and stuff on our Zoom app.
Oh, that should be the video tomorrow, by the way, Dale. You didn't do a video today. You should make up for it by doing push-ups to fatigue. We'll get Andy Hart. He's a hardo. Get him to come in here. He'll do push-ups to fatigue tomorrow.
Dale, have you gotten into TikTok?
Shine's all over TikTok.
Yeah, Dale, we're going to TikTok. When you can finally come back in the studio, me and you are going to TikTok up a storm.
Oh, we enjoy.
It's just Shine dancing. Like, I know. It's just kind of ridiculous.
By the way, tomorrow is Jersey Day on the Dale and Keith program. And Andy Hart, who was a hardo last week, had to bring in four of them.
Yeah, he better cool it with that.
To make us look bad.
Maybe just the one tomorrow, Andy.
Yeah, maybe just bring a single jersey.
That's all you need.
Now, I will say this.
Yes.
Wiggy on Wednesday did a hell of a job bringing in the Joe Sakic Quebec Nordiques jersey.
I don't know if I can top that. I really don't. That was a really good one.
I will bring in I will bring in the one for tomorrow. I said I've got a very limited supply.
Right.
So the one I'm going to bring in tomorrow has special significance to me, may not to you, but it'll be one that when I explain what it is,
okay,
you'll say, okay, all that's right. That's kind of cool.
All right. We also found out today that Dale has a replica Steve Austin weight belt autographed.
And how did we find out? Steve Austin told me on Twitter
today. Stone Cold said so. That's how we found out.
What else you got?
All right, so yesterday we played Larry David for you, and you know he has put out a video on Twitter to kind of tell the spring breakers and others, you know, let's just slow your roll here and make sure you take care. Today, we got a new video, and it's Samuel Jackson telling you what it is.
Motherfucker, it's no time to gamble. Look around. You're not at a casino. Just stay the fuck home as if your name was Trenton Quarantino. Sure, you can still see your friends. Use the motherfucking app on your phone. But unless you just ran out of groceries, please stay the fuck at home. Thank you for doing your part to flatten the curve, because that is steep. And now that you're home, please feel free to go the to sleep.
Wow.
You know, it brought a tear to my eye.
It's a nice message. Was he doing that? Was he playing his own piano?
I'm going to guess not. Yeah, probably not.
No, maybe not. But that was still well done. I think he stole Quentin Quarantino from Davey.
Did he?
Yeah, Davey, a couple of episodes ago, said that he introduced himself in the episode doing
we
that.
We should sue.
We should go after Samuel Jackson.
By the way, we all, you know, we think about the things that are passing us by during the course of this, you know, social isolating and quarantining. Just if you're a Bruins fan and you wanted to know this, tonight I would have been working The Bruins were going to play against the defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis tonight.
Ugh, what a day it would have been, right? Yeah, that at night. You have Red Sox, White Sox at Fenway, although not a great day for it, but still it would have been the home opener today. And then you get home from that, and it's Bruins and Blues.
The Bruins and Blues in a Stanley Cup final rematch that we won't get to see.
Well, maybe Davey Eyeballs can play it.
Well, we could do that.
We'll have him play it out tonight.
I'm pretty sure he's better tomorrow.
It'll be Jersey Day. We the three of us. Well, no, the five of us. You guys are going to bring yours too, right?
John and oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. And Scheim.
Come prepared every time.
Could you come up with something that doesn't look like it's been in the back of the closet for the last 6 months?
All right, Dale.
Wow.
Sure.
Oh, jeez.
Thanks.
All right.
Just right at me. I see how it is.
Asking for a friend. OMF is coming up next. Drew Bledsoe will be their Brady Week guest today. I can't wait to hear his stories about that time. And he has. They have since developed, actually, a pretty cool relationship, and I'm sure Drew will talk about that as well. We want to thank Kevin Falk, who joined us earlier. Rich, I'll see you tomorrow, bud.
Sounds good.
See you guys tomorrow. Bye.
This is a game changer.
That's all, folks.